Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another very short episode of Nerd Up. This short special episode is brought to you by Apple.
Yeah, trash products.
Trash products that even the little amount I paid for this MacBook was too much. This week I've got Dalton Anthony.
I hate you guys.
Ace of Gray.
Please bring your real laptop next time.
Mandy Kennedy.
I'm tired.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimble, and I might bring it in addition to this one. This one does do everything faster than my real junk.
I don't know. The 40 minutes we have would debate that.
That's true. It's unfortunate. Yeah, for whatever reason, guys, I started using this old like MacBook that I souped up with some extra hardware, and today it just would not turn on. Like, wasn't even registering that there's a charger hooked up to it. Nothing.
I'm only here for when it dies in the middle of recording for the reaction, if I'm being totally honest.
Oh, that'll be funny. I'm sure that'll be funny from an outsider's perspective anyway.
Yes.
So we're going to try and burn through this real quick because, unfortunately, it is a morning show. So we can't just, you know, go on through. Eventually, the studio is going to open up to the public. And
I'm the one with the keys right now.
Fair point. All right, so Game of Thrones. We got a little, what do you want to call it? Just an teaser? Image. It's not even a teaser. It's like a poster with no detail.
You got a JPEG.
There literally was no detail. I didn't know what you were posting.
It's a GOT season, final season, April 2019.
I literally didn't see the GOT.
I only knew it was that because of the font.
That's also fair.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, final season coming April 2019. So, good news there. DiCaprio and Scorsese's sixth movie has a title, and it is not Devil in the White City. It is Killers of the Flower Moon. Starts filming this summer.
These people sound like they're naming songs for pop punk bands.
I mean, they're grabbing like books.
I didn't know Wes Anderson was going to be working with it.
Two acceptable answers.
Are they making the Devil in the White City movie still?
I don't know. Like, it's
was
still,
that ever confirmed, or is that just my fever dream of give it to me because I want it?
It's still like in production. Like, it's just in production limbo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're waiting on. I would rather see it as an HBO miniseries anyway, but
I just want it.
I do too. Like,
don't make me go back and reread the book.
It's real good stuff.
Things for dorks.
Though it's a great book, everyone should read it. Devil in the White City. It's about H.H. Holmes and the World's Fair in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really interesting read. But anyway, I have no idea if that's coming or not. So we got a Detective Pikachu trailer.
We sure did, Meg.
Yeah.
We really did. We talked a little bit about it on Thursday. I'm going to see it, but it's unsettling.
That's one of my favorite tweets to come out of it was like someone was like, I am so mad that in however many months it's going to be, I'm going to have to walk to the theater and say one for Detective Pikachu.
Now we got automated stuff at our theater. Yeah. Like, I ain't got to talk to nobody.
That's
I'm going to walk up to that little like station. I'm going to key in what I want.
You're going to already have paid. You're already going to use Fandango. You've already bought your ticket. You're just printing it out.
No, I usually don't do well. Then I found out the MVP thing actually does knock off the
I can't figure that out.
Fee.
I cannot.
It literally
figure that
makes
out.
No sense because it's a free service. It's a free thing, and it takes off a convenience fee. Makes no sense.
Well, no, I can't figure out how to use it because I am the MVP. I've like signed in through that, but I still have to pay the convenience fee every time I bought a ticket online. Well,
see, I just put in like I add the ticket to cart and everything, put in like my VIP code, and then it takes off the convenience fee.
Maybe that's what I'm missing. Anyway,
yeah,
Detective whatever. Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu. It's a thing that's happening.
It looked good, like the effects did, but it's like, oh yeah, no. Every time I've said I want to see like a live action Pokemon or I think Pokemon should be in the real world, I was wrong. Because it really highlights how horrifying that universe would be.
It's the same thing with like, and I've only heard good things about it from Shannon and Allie, but the Christopher Robin movie. I'm not gonna ever watch that movie. Because Winnie the Pooh is nightmare fuel. Like, that thing looks creepy. Same thing with Pikachu. Like, I don't like that they look scary.
Pikachu
at all.
Doesn't look creepy. Jigglypuff looked creepy.
Mr. Mime
was horrifying.
Terrifying. Even, like, Greninja was alarming.
Because it really makes you notice that its scarf is its tongue.
Yeah.
Which I've always thought was weird.
Just want to look past that.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, yeah. So yeah, that's happening. Ryan Reynolds though, like I do like Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
It's weird. It's like, weird to have a Pikachu with that personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like being a, I don't know. I have so many, I can't put thoughts into words. Not into it. Gonna see it.
Yeah,
about
no.
Sums it up. That's I'm a TLDR.
We also got a Toy Story 4 official teaser.
We got two.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got two.
Multiple.
So yeah, the first one we got was just like them like in a ring, and then it goes to this like makeshift toy.
Yeah.
I have
Forky.
Not a toy.
Yeah. So does that mean like any inanimate object that you just that like gets played with just gains sentience?
In that universe?
I want to know how this works. I need to know these rules. And how terrifying it is.
That appears to be the case.
We've literally went four movies in without knowing the rule.
Well, I mean, if you remember the first Toy Story movie, some of the horrors that little dirtbag made. Sid, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but those were all, like, toys that he then Frankenstein monstered together.
That's true.
This is you put googly eyes and, like, pipe cleaners on a plastic fork, and now he is alive and unhappy about it.
I should not be
here. Well, yeah, no, that no was arms really funny.
He had arms and legs.
No,
those pipe cleaners. Yeah, the pipe cleaners.
And googly eyes.
Googly eyes are all that matters.
Yeah.
I wish they put googly eyes on Woody.
No! Why would you do that?
It'd be funny.
Some people just want to see the world burn.
I do, because I'm cranky.
It's like Mandy Sid over here. and then we got a Ducky and Bunny, which was the Key and Peele bit.
I love that.
And that was fantastic. I love how it ended. This dude know nothing about science. It just made me really happy. You can't go to infinity, much less beyond.
To infinity and your mom. That got me. It did.
Yeah, no, that was pretty fantastic. And then, yeah, Woody and Buzz show up on the screen. And I do wonder, did they tell Tim Allen that black people were going to be involved in the scene?
Oh, no. They were in the studio on separate days.
See, that's what I assumed, that he wasn't able to get through the last scene because there's like he and Peele are going
to
be there.
All he said was Infinity and Beyond, or To Infinity and Beyond. So to me, I don't even know that he was there. They probably just reused
a clip from the first movie.
A sound clip from the first one.
Fairness, would be cheaper.
The joke is, folks, that Tim Allen is really racist. If you didn't know that, just Google it. It's... Yeah, that's a thing. So anyway, John Cryer was announced as Lex Luthor in CW's Supergirl.
That'll be something.
It can't be worse than Jesse Eisenberg.
I don't know. And I get that, you know, he's kind of been, people perceive him as only his role in Two and a Half Men.
Mm.
But he was also a really dirty stand-up comic.
Hmm.
Like it was kind of like the Bob Saget effect.
Yeah.
Of it's like, oh, John Cryer, I love him as the sane one in Charlie Sheen bones a bunch of ladies with a child in the room. Like, and then he goes like, oh, he's gonna do stand up. That about killed Dalton.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, it was funny, but it wasn't like.
Yeah, it wasn't that funny.
But it's the way that kid is now. It explains it.
Oh, I have no. I don't.
Oh,
know.
Yeah, he went nuts. That's an after the show conversation, though.
All right. So yeah, no. I it's fine. Like, I've never watched Two and a Half Men. Like, I've never watched a single episode or even moments of an episode. I had zero interest in it. It was never on before or after anything that I watched. So
my parents watched it, and it was on during dinner time.
That's unfortunate.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, I'm going into this with like no expectations. This is his second time playing a Luthor, though.
Is it really?
Yeah, back in the 80s Superman movies, he played Lenny Luthor, which is Lex's son in those movies.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. That makes way more sense.
That's silence, though.
Like, wait, this is all the math equations going around my head. Like, I don't know.
Who is this Lenny? So yeah, no, like I do kind of like that, like the little callback, which honestly is a whole lot of what those shows are about, especially Supergirl. Every actress that has played Supergirl has made at least a cameo appearance on CW Supergirl.
They have all this money they can just throw around. Just bring them in. I'm sure they're $20.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, these are people that, like, you could see at a small town convention. Like, you know, I absolutely see them being available for this position.
Appearing at Paducah, Kentucky.
All right. Excuse me. We got Daredevil showrunner Eric Olson has pitched season 4 to Netflix.
That bums me out. That it wasn't already like, all right, we're doing season 4. It's, hey, if you want to do a fourth season, I got an idea.
Yeah, no, Netflix. So Netflix hasn't officially canceled. This is the first thing we've heard about any show beyond Daredevil season 3 on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as we know, like this is all moving to the Disney streaming service for the foreseeable future.
Except they said that they would keep the
Shows there.
What they've done so far will stay on Netflix, but I imagine like all of those shows will also be on the Disney streaming service. Mm-hmm. And like any future shows will be on the Disney streaming service.
Am I crazy for thinking that they announced Punisher season 2?
I don't remember it being announced.
I'm going to try to look.
That doesn't mean it hasn't been, but I thought I remembered it. It's the same thing with Jessica Jones season 3. Like, I thought I had remembered hearing that they had started filming, but I couldn't find anything supporting that fever dream that I had. I was just those seasons of television were so good that you just assume like this is coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess we'll find out. But they have pitched season 4 to Netflix.
A second season of The Punisher was ordered in December 2017.
It was almost a year ago.
They wrapped filming in August of 18, set for release in 19. So it is still happening.
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it since the season ordered. So that's cool. So we are getting at least one more Marvel Netflix series.
I like the first one. I hope he does the thing where he yells.
That's a safe bet that he's going to do that a lot.
Black and white, silent like season.
No, then it'll just like do like, you know, when it does like the little like screen that shows what they're saying. It's just going to be a screen. Exactly.
However many H's means how loud it was.
Because it's not it's over and over again.
ARG. How many G's it does is how long it went.
Yep. All right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for a seventh season. And this is after, like, we got confirmation that it was going to be canceled. Then they brought it back for what was going to be a shortened sixth season that has not started yet. And I guess they were confident enough in season 6 coming up.
They got the
They went ahead and did that. Give it season 7.
They got the nerd so angry.
I don't
know. They're scared. They're just like, no, yeah, you get six and 7. Yeah, just stop writing those letters.
You're the only fan base that writes.
Do you really think the mouse cares about these letters? Because they're the only reason this has stayed on as long as it has, because the network wanted to cancel it. And Disney's like, no.
Wait, I did know that, because I saw a tweet that was like, oh, season 6 isn't starting until after Avengers 4. Yeah. So they're just like waiting to just completely ignore the snap because they're cowards.
That's a
solid cowards.
That's a solid choice.
Makes sense, honestly.
Yeah. Or is it that season 7 is just going to be what the second half of season 6 was going to be, and they scammed them?
That's a possibility too. We'll see what happens.
That's Mickey with the devil. Huh?
But yeah, no. Like I said, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was one of those things that the network wanted to cancel because it was not getting the ratings that they wanted it to get. But yeah, Disney was just like, no.
There's only so many times I can have you and Hunter say, no, this is the good season. Before I gave up in 5.
That Ghost Rider season was great though.
The first half.
I gave up after season 1.
Season 1 is super campy.
Before even going.
Mandy doesn't watch new shows.
She just skipped it.
I don't. I really don't that much.
She watches her like rom-com seasons over and over again.
Good news is
anime.
Good news is I'm meeting my normal trend. I'm already 2 episodes behind on Titans, and I don't know when I'm going to catch up. So it's going to go the way of all the other shows that I'm supposed to be watching.
I'm thinking about watching season 2 of Daredevil. It'll probably be like 3 more months, but I might get there. I just finished the last ship, and that's completely over with. So if I don't watch the 100 and cry all season on that, I might watch season 2 of Daredevil.
I got a lot of episodes of Amazing World of Gumball to catch up on.
Jesus.
It's good. It's so good.
Is it?
Yeah. It's one of those discoveries I had because nothing else was on at my grandparents' house. I was waiting for American Dad to come on.
This is, I feel like, so is this what it was like when I discovered Steven Universe and I was trying to talk all of you into watching it?
Yes.
I wasn't,
I'm not trying to talk
then.
Anybody else into watching it. Because like because I'm starting at the beginning, the early stuff is not as great as like some of the ones that were clearly happened later, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
Fair enough. Hopefully you continue to enjoy it. I eventually stopped watching Steven Universe. I couldn't handle Nickelodeon's release schedule.
No episodes 15. For 2 years. Also, here's 8 seasons in a day.
But at 15 minutes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 15-minute episodes. And yeah, they would drop what they called Steven bombs.
Well, Jesse, these are also 15-minute episodes, and it's over. Seasons 1 through 5, that's all there is all on Hulu.
Huh. Well, I'm still not going to watch it. all right. Some show that I am going to watch. Young Justice Outsiders. We got a premiere date. January 4th.
Yay.
At first, I was like, oh, that's so far away. It's really not.
Nope. No, it's like a little over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I might finally get myself a DC Universe subscription, or I'll just take Dalton's password.
There you go. About to say, literally, don't do that. I have it.
Yep. All right, and then the briefest spoiler-free review of Fantastic Beasts, because I saw that yesterday, The Crimes of Grindelwald. If you're a Harry Potter fan, full price. This was fantastic. I enjoyed the crap out of it. If you just like watching a CGI spectacle, solid matinee. It was just real pretty. There was a whole lot of stuff going on the screen that looked awesome. And it makes me, like, watching this movie makes me really wish that they would redo the original Harry Potter movies with this updated CG technology. Ooh. That looks so good.
I'd go back and watch them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I really, really enjoyed it. It did give me kind of a, it ended on a real cliffhanger. Like, it wrapped up some stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then dropped a little bomb on you, and then credits rolled, which was a little bit of a bummer. But I'm kind of used to it after so many fantasy series doing that to me.
Infinity War.
Oh, God. The Infinity War.
Are we getting close?
Star Wars, Lord of the Rings.
Except hopefully in between this movie and whatever the next movie is going to be, they don't just like tell you that everything that happened in Crimes of Grindelwald just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it now.
Oh, I don't even know how they could do that in this one.
Jesse, Warner Brothers.
Yeah, but the first Fantastic
Warner Beast, Brothers.
Okay, fine. Yeah, they could mess it up. They could easily mess it up. But I enjoyed this movie. If you're hesitant on watching it, but you're a fan of the series, go ahead and do it. It's great. I can't imagine this being anywhere near as good on a home theater system as it was in theaters, because the sound was amazing, the music was amazing, the
you don't know
everything
my setup.
Was. I do know your setup.
What's the next story?
All right, so this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all your comic book needs. Get a cup of coffee while you're at it.
Go to their Facebook page, because they are doing Black Friday sales, Small Business Saturday sales. Check them out on social media and get info on that.
Yeah, it's, 10% off on Black Friday and 20% off for Small Business Saturday?
I believe so, but I know there's, like, exceptions, and I know it doesn't cover, like, local artists and authors' works.
Right.
There's probably other. Go to their Facebook or Instagram check out those details.
But at the very least, comic books, the big Marvel and DC ones,
mm-hmm.
you get those discounts.
Yep.
Good to go. All right, Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cicchetto are taking over Daredevil.
Geppetto?
I just played Pinocchio on Kingdom Hearts last night, so I just heard Geppetto and thought of this old man. Pinocchio!
I don't know if I'm more looking forward to Chip Zdarsky writing Daredevil, or if I'm looking forward to going back and rereading all of the reactions to Chip Zdarsky writing Daredevil on Twitter.
It's going to be way different than Charles Soule.
But he has been working with Charles Soule.
Really?
Yeah. That was one of the, because he's like, I'm taking this very seriously. Like,
oh, it's good because
it's not going to turn it into a straight up comedy book. But at the same time, with him declaring, I get to write Red Batman.
I love Chip Zdarsky.
he's a treasure.
Because it's one of those things, like, I didn't know if I was going to keep reading Daredevil after Charles Soule left the book, because his run has been just incredible.
Can't confirm.
That's right. You started reading it on.
I'm still 6 months behind,
right?
Probably 8 months at this point, but yeah, it was real good.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Charles Soule's been knocking it out of the park. It's fantastic. So I didn't know if I was going to be reading it after he left the book because I knew his run was about to end with Death of Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, now, like, Chip Zdarsky's picking it up. I'm like, well, all right. I'll give it the first arc. I do love me some Chip Zdarsky.
I really enjoyed his Spectacular Spider-Man run. Yeah. I got mostly caught up on that finally, and it was very, very enjoyable.
I've been reading it-ish. I'm really far behind, but yeah, no, I also like it, but it's one of those things like Spider-Man, I feel like is perfect for Chip Zdarsky's writing style. I don't know how well he's going to do with Daredevil, but I'm eager to find out. See, Marvel also announced War of the Realms was going to be their next big event, and it's going to be a bunch of Marvel heroes versus Malekith, the Dark Elf.
Which Thor took him on solo. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know why suddenly Malekith is a major universe threat.
Although apparently, I'm on Chip Zdarsky's Twitter. Make him a zombie, you coward. Charles Soule said that. Make him a zombie. Zombies are super in right now. And Chip responds with, The Walking Red.
I need like these two to make a book now.
Yeah.
I need Charles and Chip. Chuck and Chip.
I hate you.
The Adventures of Chuck and Chip. Just make that a little webcomic.
Yes, please.
Anyway, is it Jason Aaron that's writing Thor?
Yes, Jason Aaron's writing it.
He said that he has been planting the seeds for this event for his entire Thor run, which has been like 6 years.
I was about to say a massive run.
Like coming up on Dan Slott territory.
Yeah.
But he's been planting these seeds for that long, so maybe it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, and
the stuff that he actually writes instead of all of the, you know, crossover books and tie-ins that aren't written by him.
Because, yeah, he's going to be in charge of this entire event. He's going to be writing this entire event, so they're not putting it in, like, some other writer's hands.
This could be an interesting way to test the theory of, does Bendis like to kill people, or does Marvel like to kill people?
It's true.
Now that we have a Jason Aaron Marvel-wide event.
Yeah, well, and I also don't know if they're going to handle it, like, because the last big Marvel, like, Secret Empire, mm-hmm. impacted nobody but Spider-Man and Cap. So I'm wondering if they're going to do something similar where, I mean, it had little bitty ripples throughout, but like the only characters that really impacted were Spider-Man and Cap. So I'm wondering if they're going to do something like, you know, what DC does where they had, you know, like No Justice and Metal, Dark Knight's Metal, like where it impacted literally no one except for the Justice League. Like no other book had any mention of it outside of tie-ins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if they're going to do it like that now or not. Like, I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm interested enough. Doomsday Clock number 8 got pushed 1 week. So now it's going to be November 5th before we get the next installment there. Finally caught up on that book. It's real good. Really enjoying
it. I'm still holding on to my, I'm going to wait, excuse me, for it all to come out and then just read it in one big push.
Yeah. And we'll see.
Especially with all the delays that are happening. Because if I was caught up and waiting on the next issue, I would be so mad.
Yeah.
All the time.
I'm pretty angry. Then again, I've got enough other comic books keeping me busy, but I need to know what's happening next. Blade is looking like he's going to join the Avengers, starting in issue 700. So we've seen Blade in a couple of books recently. Like, he's just kind of popped up randomly and then just disappeared. I wonder if they're trying to, like, lead towards an ongoing to see, like, how popular he's going to be, or maybe, like, start to raise a little bit of hype for a Blade reboot.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty
still
sweet.
Still starring Wesley Snipes.
He could.
And they gave him that action figure not too terribly long ago.
Yeah, so I wonder if they're testing the waters to see if there's enough hype to really do a Blade movie, because I imagine they want another black hero.
You know who would be amazing? You know where Blade would fit in perfectly?
Where's that?
The Marvel Netflix series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because then you don't got to worry about the PG-13 nonsense.
Right.
You get us an M-rated Blade, put him street level, not necessarily in New York, but...
You know, I found out, on average, PG-13 movies are more violent than R-rated movies.
You watch Adam Ruins Everything, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the language?
Yeah. It's the one extra F-word and maybe a nipple.
Huh.
Yep. The nipple is really what puts you into or NC-17 territory.
Decapitation is fine.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you see, you know, just a little bit of a brown on a...
You see a little bit of that areola.
On a boobie. You shut it down.
Hard R.
The children will implode. They might actually talk to their parents.
Pure thoughts. And they'll just start procreating like rabbits.
Yes.
If they see even a hint of sexuality on screen. No, yeah, it's bonkers.
Stupid.
That's, we could do an entire show about how dumb that is.
Our generation, wow, what was it? Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What's her name?
Jessica Rabbit?
That one, yeah. We had that. If 1 ounce of that, that would have been an M-rated movie. Just that. It's the worst ever.
I don't know what he's talking about.
That was like the most sexualized character in the world, and that was in a child's movie.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit's not really a child's movie.
No, it is not.
Oh, well, then my parents were not great.
And Jessica Rabbit existed
before that movie.
Yeah,
look how you turned out. We know.
Like, that character existed before that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Today anyway, I learned.
And they were more sexual. I'm moving past it. So this next portion of the podcast brought to you by Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all their podcasts and social media links at ps2jshow.com. Last Wednesday of every month, they do a History of Gaming episode. They're all pretty solid. Check it out. All right, so Harry Potter Wizards Unite is now releasing 2019, so it got pushed a hair, I guess. And they've added a website, wizardsunite.com, where you can enlist in updates, or you can quote-unquote enlist in updates and stuff like that, like nothing real major. And I guess when the game releases, like, or maybe if they do a beta, you might be get involved on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not interested in this at all because it's made by Niantic.
Yeah,
and as bad as Pokemon Go was at release,
which, like, you would like to think that they took all of those lessons from Go.
Yeah,
and their first game that they made before Go.
Yeah,
which granted, Pokemon as a attaching Pokemon to anything, you're gonna make money with it. I think this will be big, but I don't think it'll be as big as Go, and I don't think it'll like be as sustainable as Go.
No.
Because I know I understand how big the Harry Potter fandom is.
I mean, that other game that they were running is still going. I can't remember what it's called at this point.
I don't remember.
Didn't they aren't there haven't they done like two games since? Niantic, didn't they do the Ghostbusters and Jurassic
they did
Park?
Not do,
they did not do those. Those are just clones.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
I know for sure they didn't do Ghostbusters. Yeah. I don't think they did Jurassic Park or Walking Dead. But
Like those are just clones.
Yeah. Okay, my bad.
They just take that model and
The augmented reality model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, I lost so much interest in Pokemon Go just because I didn't have a stop right there.
Yeah, I noticed that you hadn't been on in a really long time. Like, I'd started using it again for
that's the whole
Let's Go games.
That's the whole reason I got it. I re-downloaded it was for the Pokemon Go games,
which you wanted to do a review.
Yeah.
So hit me.
Review in progress. I just beat Misty. I'm like 7 hours in, and some of it's really good. Some of it I can't stand. I hate that we're still using our 2D sprites, the sprite noises for the Pokemon.
Instead, I was watching Calvin, and they just made the sprite animations. They just made it look a little better.
And then like even the sound effect, like the sounds that they make, like there's no reason we can't get like what the anime or the movies are doing. Instead of just the random noise of metal scraping metal.
It would cost so much more money.
Yeah, but it's Pokemon. You're going to make it back.
Accurate.
The fight animations, we have not, like, are the exact same as the 3DS version. It's a really pretty game, but I think Red Dead has me spoiled.
It's a different kind of
pretty. I wish it was prettier. Because it's like, it's pretty much just the 3DS games, but smoother.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, everything's a jagged edge. Like, everything looks smoother. So it looks good, but I was hoping it would look better. I don't like the way... I love the way that it's no longer random encounters.
You actually
walk into the Pokemon. I love that. That is brilliant, and that should have happened a long time ago, and I hope that stays for the next, like, the actual game.
Yeah.
That said, I hate not battling wild Pokemon, because now your grinding is entirely revolved around how many balls that you have. Which, granted, when you beat a trainer in a battle, you get like 3 to 5 Pokeballs or Great Balls, where I'm at now, and on top of money.
What a ridiculous concept. You beat a guy, and you take his Pokeballs.
Yeah.
You dump his Pokemon out of it. But
and there's like, it's pretty, the battling, once you actually battle, it's the same as the
old school trainers. Yeah, because I was watching Calvin do a trainer battle, and it was...
There's a lot that I like about it because, like, I like how the cutscenes are actual, like, cutscenes now.
Mm-hmm.
That's super cool. I love having, like, Pikachu on your shoulder and then the Pokemon following behind you. I love stuff like that. They've got rid of AHMs. You're doing the secret, which I haven't gotten there yet, but the secret machines. A lot of these are really, really good additions, but there's too much of it that for the first home console Pokemon game release that we're getting that wasn't, you know, Colosseum or XD or whatever, they kept so much of just... what we've already had that could so easily be improved on.
Yeah,
I say easily, but like could be improved on.
Right.
And I'm it makes me want next year's game so much more.
Because I was a little disheartened when I watched, because Calvin was in here playing it, mm-hmm. and I watched him play it for a minute. Like, I watched him do the combat, like moving around the world and everything looks really cool, looks really fun. Like, the fact that you can fly around in Pokemon looks really neat. The battle system, though, made me sad. When I saw him pull out, like, his little, I don't remember, Nidoran, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And he used, like, Horn Attack or something. And it was just straight up, like, and maybe they did it for nostalgia's sake, or, well, no, they did it because it was cheaper. But it was just straight up, like, the old school, like, sprite animations and everything.
Because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I know they're not going to switch to, like, a real-time combat system, which they would have all of my money. I'd buy two copies of each game if they switched to a real-time combat system.
About to say, give us, like, Pokken tournament-style situation going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be dope.
So I'm like, but yeah, just, like, it's just the, he kind of jumps forward a little bit, and then the giant cone comes out of nowhere and jumps into
at
whatever.
A weird angle, and then, hits the enemy Pokemon.
So it's stuff like that that bums me out. Also, I got the version with the Pokeball as a controller.
Yep.
Dalton and I disagree on this. I don't like using the Pokeball. The joystick is not reliable enough when you're navigating through menus, which is another thing. The menus suck a lot.
That's
trying to figure out how to change your party for the first time is super obnoxious and not very intuitive. But then when you use this joystick, it's like you'll click on stuff because you have to push in the joystick to select things to push A.
Because
you have, it's not a full Joy-Con.
Right.
You have the joystick, and then push that in for the button. There's a button on top of the Pokeball, and then you have to shake it for, like, Y. And that's how you navigate through menus, which it's doable. Like, I haven't yet run into anything that I couldn't do using the Pokeball that I could do just in handheld mode, because that's the two ways I've played it so far. I think you get more experience whenever you actually, like, throw the Pokeball instead of just handheld mode and pushing A, because you get, like, a technique bonus.
Which you can do the same thing if you just take
the Joy-Con
off. Yeah, throw it that way.
Which that's the only way I haven't played it yet. You cannot use a Pro Controller.
Yeah.
Really made me mad when I found that out.
Do you have a Pro Controller?
Yes.
Oh.
I bought it because I don't like the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, the Joy-Cons are pretty bad. The Pro Controller is beautiful, though.
The Pro Controller is great, and I want to use the $80 controller I bought on the games I buy. Oh, my God. Anyway. It seemed very, like, sometimes my Pokeballs would just, like, ding. Like, you know when you accidentally, like, half swipe and go and it just falls in front of them? I'm doing the exact same motion, but that will happen. I'm like, I don't understand. Okay, well, I guess
now
I just wasted that.
Now put some oomph in it, Asa.
Now, I will say, like, I haven't put 7 hours in, but I've also put, like, I think I'm at, like, 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love the game. The only thing that I would, like, 100% agree with Asa on is the menus are garbage. Like, figuring out your party is, like you said, way more difficult than it needs to be. Besides that, I love it. Like, I was a little bummed out whenever you couldn't just battle wild Pokemon. But after about 4 or 5, like, intentionally going into Pokemon encounters, I was cool with it.
It goes faster.
Yeah, it moves a lot quicker. I've enjoyed it a whole lot. I'm excited to go through the game more. I just haven't had a good chance to. If you are a Pokemon fan and you are of this age group, it's going to be a little polarizing, but, like, children are going to eat this up like crazy.
Yeah, this is not our game.
Yeah.
This game is not meant for me. This is for the Pokemon Go casual audience who hasn't played one ever or since, you know, the original games, to bring them back in. And then they're going to hit us with, like, the main release next year.
Okay, but how soon do I get to dress my Eevee up?
Within 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah. God. You immediately, like...
That's all I want to do is make it cute and put on my shoulder and match
my Pikachu
me
has a matching outfit,
and then find a Vulpix and it follows me, and I'll be so happy.
Your rival isn't Blue. It's just your next-door neighbor. Even Blue... Like, your rival is, like, the most helpful person. And then...
So they went with, like, the more recent games
approach.
Super
friendly. Even Blue gives you stuff the first time you meet him.
Neat.
Like, yeah, it's weird. That said, the Pokeball itself is really cool because all of the sound effects from the game come out of the Pokeball. Hmm. Even though it is just, you know, the basic sounds.
When you charge it up.
The first thing I did is because I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just play it handheld and I'll charge it on my stand. when you plug in the charger into the Pokeball, it makes the Poke Center noise.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's just a bunch of little stuff like that. It's totally unnecessary. I'm glad I have the Pokeball, but I probably won't use it as my main controller.
I had it pre-ordered, and then Amazon just sent me an email Amazon sent me the information. It's like, it will send it to you at some point.
Yeah, you'll get it eventually. Yeah, because Amazon doesn't care now.
Yeah,
they don't have to care anymore.
Because it used to be like if you pre-order a game on Amazon, or if you, I mean, maybe it's because it's not a game, but if you pre-order a game on Amazon, like you actually get it on release day. Like, because I've done that a couple of times where, like, I've had the game delivered to my office on release day.
Did you order the bundle?
No, I just ordered the Pokeball by itself. Because I was going to go buy it at Best Buy since I get the discount.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, they were like, yeah, we'll get it to you eventually. But
I went to Best Buy to pick it up, and they had one Let's Go Pikachu left, and it was the bundle. So I was like, well, I guess I'm getting that because I'm bad with money.
At least you get the discount on it.
I had the $20 on my Best Buy rewards because I was just going to buy the game. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the $20 on there, and I was like, well, it'd only be $80 for the controller, like $20 extra dollars for the controller. I might as well buy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are bad influences.
Mm-hmm. All right, finish this up a little bit here. We got Command & Conquer Red Alert and Tiberian Dawn are getting remastered.
Which they're actually apparently working with some of the team that originally made it, so that's
yeah, they're bringing back a bunch of the original like story writers and devs for it, which is, yeah, awesome. And also, just out of nowhere from EA, all of the expansion packs are also going to be remastered and included at no additional cost.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's cool for people who like that franchise. I am not one of those people because I'm not an RTS fan.
I am an RTS fan, and mm-hmm. I could never get into CNC.
Really?
Yeah, I had back in the day.
You had StarCraft, Warcraft.
It was basically you had like the two different camps of RTS players. You had your Command & Conquer players, and you had your StarCraft players.
Okay, well the StarCraft players are clearly wrong because Command & Conquer had Tim Curry in a game.
Yeah, I mean Tim Curry is great in everything.
Yes, he is great in everything.
Do not put a button there.
I was just going to say Command & Conquer is not as fun as StarCraft.
Okay, good. I thought I was going to say but.
Like, Tim Curry adds quite a bit of weight to it. But yeah, no, because my entire LAN group, when I started playing with them back in high school when I met these guys, like, I had already been playing StarCraft for years, and I show up, and they're like, all right, yeah, let's all play Command & Conquer. I'm like, Command & what? And, yeah, I am terrible at Command & Conquer. Granted, I've only put, like, that night into it, mm-hmm. but I am not good at it. I was way better at StarCraft, which is saying something because StarCraft 1 I was pretty good at. StarCraft 2 I'm dog crap at. So bad at StarCraft 2. Anyway, so yeah, that's really cool for fans of those franchises. Sony is skipping E3 2019.
This is insane.
Yeah.
The first time in the 25 years that E3 has been running, Sony's not going
to
be there.
Like, why?
Because, okay, so this is fascinating to me. Kind of Funny Games Daily, this news broke in the middle of their show, and Greg Miller just lost his mind because he's the big Sony guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought up a lot of really good points. The joke I was going to make is they looked at the calendar and realized, oh, wait, the world didn't end in 2018 now that we've got God of War and Spider-Man out.
Mm-hmm.
We were bluffing. Last of Us 2 isn't real. Kojima's not making a game. Oh, no. But... Oh, this is, I don't know. It's
mind blowing.
Are they going? Because there's two camps right now. Of Sony isn't confident in what they have, so they're just gonna like instead of doing an underwhelming showing, they're just gonna pull out. I don't think that's true. I think they are so confident in everything that they are working on that they are not going to share the spotlight. They don't want to be ranked with Microsoft and Nintendo and Devolver and all of these other places. They want to do their own thing. So they'll do PSX.
I was about to say, do basically what Nintendo did a couple years ago.
So they won't have any E3 presence, but then they're going to have a huge conference where they will show new stuff on Death Stranding, Days Gone, Last of Us 2. I think that, and then I think that's also where they're going to reveal the PS5.
Because that was my thought, was that they were going to skip E3 and then just do their own thing a little bit later or before. It would be great to do it before, probably, because they could get ahead of like the big announcements from like Microsoft and Nintendo.
Exactly, because if they do it after and Microsoft, and so now it's like everyone just assumes that okay, they're announcing the PS5 and that'll come out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine if Microsoft can now just be like, oh, well, if they're not going to do it, if they don't do it before, like if they do their conference after, if Microsoft can get ahead of them and announced whatever Project Scarlet is.
Yeah.
Ahead of time, that could be huge for them.
Yep. Because we did get a little bit of like possible rumor news from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. They're obviously going to be at E3.
Yeah.
And yeah, Project Scarlet, like right now that's set, like probably going to see that in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But next year from Microsoft, it's looking like we're going to see a couple of different Xbox Ones. We talked about one of them before in the like streaming system.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be way cheaper, and you just stream every game that you get. You don't actually put anything on the console.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds really neat. The other one, this is a new one. It's going to be an Xbox One with no disc drive.
Wait, did they announce the streaming console? Because I saw this one, the one with no disc drive, so everything's digital.
Yeah, they didn't announce either of them. It's just like these are the rumors we've gotten so far.
I thought they announced the disc drive one.
No, as far as I could read from the article I was reading, like this was a report. Like there's the words reports say and sources say showed up a whole lot. So there's never any like Microsoft thing. Yeah, while he's looking that up to see if Microsoft has actually announced it, it's looking like it's going to be a diskless system coming in 2019. So yeah, we'll not have a disk drive at all. Could be as low as $200 for the console.
What?
Yeah. With a disk for digital program. So like if you wanted to upgrade, like say you have it like one of the original Xbox Ones and you wanted to get like a 1S or something like that, you could get this system. And if you have like a bunch of like discs, you can take them to a participating retailer, likely your Best Buy's, GameStop's, and the Microsoft Store, and they will give, like, you can take your discs in and they will give you a digital like code to download those games. And yeah, then you just have it all digital.
Man.
Eh.
Okay, so for Microsoft is still trying to decide if that console will include a disc drive, but should be making the final decision here shortly. And that's for whatever the next generation will be. Yeah, and it looks like it is all just reportedly. They haven't confirmed anything yet.
Yeah, nothing. Because this could be really cool. I mean, not like I'm not going to jump in on it because mm-hmm. I like having my physical discs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm just
same.
One of those people. Like, I also do like having things digital because it's nice not to have to swap discs around.
See, mm-hmm. that's great, but... Well, all right, so look at Call of Duty.
Mm.
That install was four gigs on the disc?
Yeah,
and then
like that.
50 on, almost that was no, digital download?
Yeah, almost no data on the disc itself.
At this point, we're getting, granted, Red Dead was a pretty massive download. Well, that was two discs.
Yeah, I was about to say, that had a lot of info on the disc.
Now that because that's the thing is, we're getting to a point where less and less is being put on the disc. Apparently, I need to talk to Shannon, but apparently... it might have just been the PC version, but physical versions of Fallout 76
mm-hmm.
were just digital codes.
Yeah, basically just download, the DR.
That was the PC one for sure, because they had a cardboard disc inside.
It was a cardboard disc inside, yeah.
Well played,
yeah, for the
Bethesda.
PC for sure. Like, that's been a thing for a PC for a while now.
Yeah.
If you go out and buy, like, a new... If you go to GameStop and you pre-order a PC game and you get a box, it's not going to have a disc in it, folks. It's going to have a cardboard cardboard insert with the code on it.
And it was the same thing as like Cuphead on Xbox One
mm-hmm.
that you could buy a physical, you could buy a case at Best Buy
that you could put on your shelf,
but it was a digital code.
Yep.
So, with less and less data being put on discs themselves, my argument of but it takes up more space doing digital only, and then you have to have an external hard drive or
well, on Xbox that hasn't been true from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like Xbox One has been to a point where, like, we have before purchased the digital version of the game and then, like, after having it installed via disc and purchased, like, it was Battleborn. I did that with Battleborn
mm-hmm.
because they had, like, the physical edition of the game, like, I had installed on my system. And then they ran a super duper sale on, like, the big deluxe edition.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had the digital download and then it was already installed and I just went out and played, like. It's literally the same file. Like, it's just how, like, what manner of DRM you have. Mm-hmm. Is your DRM on a disc, or is your DRM in a license that you've downloaded to your console tied to your profile?
Which then you also get the benefit of, you know, oh, I left my system at home. Oh, I can just log into my profile on one of these here,
yep.
re-download everything, and then
which is
I
like,
can just play here.
Tanner did that for Call of Duty. Like,
mm-hmm,
he's got on one of the systems here in the store his profile, and Call of Duty was installed already.
Yeah, so he was able to just jump in.
Yep, he just jumped on and jumped in. No, yeah, it's one of those things, like, I'm still a fan of having discs. If the digital stuff ever becomes cheaper,
mm-hmm.
like, if I could save money buying digitally, then I would probably do that over discs.
See, and that's probably what I'm going to start doing when my Gamers Club Unlocked runs out. because I still have it through July.
Right.
And until then, yes, I am going to be taking that 20% off a physical copy.
Right.
Of everything.
Yeah, no. Like right now, it makes zero sense for me to buy anything digitally because I can get it way cheaper physically. And I have the inconvenience of having to swap discs, but that's really not that big of a deal to me. But honestly, if this happens and we actually have, like, you know, one of those, you know, retailers nearby that'll do this, I might take every game that I have for Xbox One, take all my discs in, and grab digital codes and just redeem them on my Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, not get this diskless system, but convert my entire library to digital.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be okay with that. Like, I'll keep my steelbooks.
I wonder if there is something, like, some way to safeguard from people doing that. Like, you actually do have to, you have to bring in your games with the system.
Honestly, I feel like it's not really going to hurt anybody, but... Like, it, me doing that, if I say GameStop participates in this,
mm-hmm.
then, like, I have unloaded my physical collection to GameStop, and basically, if they're participating with Microsoft through this, they have lost no money. I have just given them a pretty substantial amount of inventory that they can move to people that still prefer discs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I could straight
up... But it's the matter of, I don't know if... Microsoft wants to give out those codes...
To people who have an Xbox One X.
To people who... aren't buying their new thing.
That's entirely possible. I know, like, Microsoft is also trying to... they tried to make us go cold turkey on physical media.
Yeah.
You gotta ease us into it, baby.
And so, yeah, now I feel like they're trying to, like, you gently lower us into it. Because for, like, people like me, I'm fine with going digital, but there are a lot of people that, like, because I have, you know, constant and reliable internet access. And there are a lot of people that are not in that boat.
Right.
Yeah.
People close to here, even.
Yeah. Because we get people that come in here and use our internet to download stuff, like, mm-hmm. on their systems. So, yeah. All right, guys. Well, the studio's about to open up, so we got to call it a day on that one. If you have opinions on this DRM stuff and this digital stuff, let me know. I'm curious about it, because I know this is a hot topic in the gaming community. It has been for a while. All right. That's going to do it for us, though. We'll talk to you next time.